We're glad to have everyone with us today. Hope everybody had a good Thanksgiving. We had a call that Jonna McGuire Arnett is in the hospital and she's very sick. Some of you may remember her. She's a former member. We are lucky to have Pastor Garrett with us today while Pastor Anna is on vacation. Let's see. Lutheran Men in Mission will meet tomorrow night at 6:30 in the Fellowship Hall. Choir is Wednesday. We do have our annual, semi-annual congregational meeting next Sunday, so please be here for that. Where did Herbert go? Go ahead, Herbert.
Yeah, the annual meeting next week, also a copy of the book in Rosebeck, and I look forward to see it ahead of time. That was a request for the right answer. I mean,
okay, let's see. The Lutheran Men in Mission Christmas Party is December the 5th in the Fellowship Hall, and the first Advent meal will be on the 6th at 5:30. We will have a meal and then worship. Do you have birthdays or anniversaries?
You hit everything.
That's all?
That's all she outlined.
Okay. We do have a prayer shawl for Jonna that we will be sending around. So if you'll put your blessings on that.
Oh. Okay, birthdays. Jim Watkins, Stuart Walmsley, and Donnie Parsons. And no anniversaries.
Pastor also outlined
baptisms. Tammy Turner. And Kara or Kara?
Kara.
Kara Feeney.
Okay.
I always think baptisms are just as important as birthdays. So I celebrate both of those baptisms this week.
All right, at this time we'll have our prelude by the handbill. Oh, Joe, I'm sorry.
Good morning. Last Sunday, we had some fun and food fellowship with the scholarship silent auction and dessert auction. We brought in over $2,100 for our scholarship fund. Thank you for all the effort. We haven't made any expenses yet, but still, you know, that's a wonderful blessing for about 3 hours of work. I say 3 hours, Jennifer put in a lot. But thank you all for the donations, and if anybody still would like to donate for that, you know, please feel free. But thank you very much, and we will look forward to doing our raffle in the spring, maybe another lunch. We still got some planning to do for that, but it's a great start for next year's recipients. Thank you.
Anybody else have any?
All right, well, our prelude.
Thank you.
We'll continue our worship with confession and forgiveness as found printed in your bulletin. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God, who greets us in this and every season, whose love never fails, whose promise is true and sure.
Amen.
Amen. Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. Merciful God, we confess that we have sinned, we have hurt our community, we have squandered our blessings, we have hoarded your bounty, we have failed to be honest, we have lacked the courage to speak, we have spoken falsely. In the name of Jesus, forgive us and grant us your mercy. The triune God offers boundless grace when we fail. Receive and live into the gift of God's mercy. You are freed and forgiven in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. O God of power and might, your Son shows us the way of service, and in him we inherit the riches of your grace. Give us the wisdom to know what is right and the strength to serve the world you have made through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
Well, it's time for a children's chat. Anybody interested?
I have no age restrictions, by the way. As long as whoever's here is willing to help me get up off the stair that I sit on. Hey, Brantley. It is so good to have you and Bluey here. I am just happy as can be. And I know Pastor Anna wishes she was here to give you a big old hug. But she will be next week. So until then, can you put up with me? Okay, good, good. Because we have a story today from Jesus about helping other people. And I'm wondering, you're looking at yourself. Would it be better if we sat out there? No, because then you couldn't see yourself.
Wait.
What? What? We're very big, aren't we? Yeah. And everybody can see us. Oh, look, we just got, I don't know, did we get smaller or bigger? I'm not sure. Well, anyway, what would happen, what would you do if we were sitting here and you noticed, let's see, if you noticed Miss Gaynell was crying, what might you do? Might you take her the box of tissues?
Achoo!
Achoo! Yep, yep, yep. Well, what would you do? I'm getting my exercise. What would you do if Miss Judy here looked like she was so thirsty she couldn't play the piano? What might you do? Drink healthy water. Give her a cup of water. What would you do if Pastor Anna was looking so sad that it made you want to cry? You'd give her something good, like your hugs, to make her feel better. Well, you know, that's what God calls us all to do, to notice the people around us. Look at, can you notice the people that are out here? Bluey, do you notice? Okay. Bluey definitely is a noticer. Bluey notices when people need something. So that's what our gospel story today calls us to do things that help people feel better. Yeah. So what do you think you could do to help me feel better? Drink healthy water. I'll do it. Thank you for that recommendation. Any chance of a prayer hug? Okay, good. Right. So let's pray. Would you like to pray with me?
Yeah.
Okay. Can you repeat after me?
Yeah.
Dear God,
help us
to notice people in need and to show them your love.
You love.
Amen.
Amen.
Okay, great. Thank you for coming up. Thank you, Bluey. It's always good to see you. Okay? Do you want to go back and sit down while people read?
Yeah.
Yep. Thank you. Oh, and children's church.
The first reading is from Ezekiel. Thus says the Lord God, I myself will search for my sheep and will seek them out. As shepherds seek out their flocks when they are among their scattered sheep, so I will seek out my sheep. I will rescue them from all the places to which they have been scattered on a day of clouds and thick darkness. I will bring them out of the peoples and gather them from the countries, and I will bring them into their own land, and I will feed them on the mountains of Israel, by the watercourses and in all the inhabited parts of the land. I will feed them with good pasture, and the mountain heights of Israel shall be their pasture. There they shall lie down in good grazing land, and they shall feed on rich pasture on the mountains of Israel. I myself will be the shepherd of my sheep, and I will make them lie down, says the Lord God. I will seek the lost, and I will bring back the strayed, and I will bind up the injured, and I will strengthen the weak, but the fat and the strong I will destroy. I will feed them with justice. Therefore, thus says the Lord God to them, I myself will judge between the fat sheep and the lean sheep, because you pushed with flank and shoulder and butted at all the weak animals with your horns until you scattered them far and wide. I will save my flock, and they shall no longer be ravaged, and I will judge between sheep and sheep. I will set up over them one shepherd, my servant David, and he shall feed them. He shall feed them and be their shepherd, and I, the Lord, will be their God, and my servant David shall be prince among them. I, the Lord, have spoken. Word of God, word of life. The psalm for today is Psalm 95. Come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us shout. Let us come before God's presence with thanksgiving.
And raise a loud shout to the Lord's psalms.
For you, Lord, are a great God. In your hand are the caverns of the earth.
The heights of the hills are also yours.
The sea is yours, for you made it.
And your hands have molded the dry land.
Come, let us worship and bow down.
Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker.
For the Lord is our God.
And we are the people of God's pasture and the sheep of God's hand.
The second lesson is from Ephesians. I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love toward all the saints, and for this reason I do not cease to give thanks for you as I remember you in my prayers. I pray that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation as you come to know him, so that with the eyes of your heart enlightened, you may know that the hope to which he has called you, what are the riches of his glorious inheritance among the saints, and what is the immeasurable greatness of his power for us who believe, according to the working of his great power. God put this power to work in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the age to come. And he has put all things under his feet, and has made him the head over all things for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. Word of God, word of life.
Thank you.
Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Jesus said to the disciples, "When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of his glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he will put the sheep at his right hand and the goats at his left. Then the king will say to those at his right hand, 'Come, you that are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you gave me clothing. I was sick, and you took care of me. I was in prison, and you visited me.' Then the righteous will answer him, 'Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry and gave you food, or thirsty and gave you something to drink? And when was it that we saw you a stranger and welcomed you, or naked and gave you clothing? And when was it that we saw you sick or in prison and visited you?' And the king will answer them, 'Truly, I tell you, just as you did it to one of the least of these who are members of my family, you did it to me.' Then he will say to those at his left hand, 'You that are accursed, depart from me into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you did not welcome me. Naked, and you did not give me clothing. Sick and in prison, and you did not welcome me.' Then they also will answer, 'Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry or thirsty, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not take care of you?' Then he will say and answer them, 'Truly, I tell you, just as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me.' And these will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Please be seated. On this final Sunday of the church year, we find ourselves immersed in old and significant metaphors and images and visions. Now, some of these may hold deep meaning in your faith life and growth. For some, however, talk of kings and shepherds and sheep and goats and head and body may make eyes glaze over and thoughts stray to whatever NFL game you're looking forward to being played, or to those ham and turkey leftovers. So, given that, I would ask you to join me in prayer. I truly need it. Holy Spirit, come to my aid. Open our ears to receive the message that you want us to take to heart. May the authority and power of Christ, our ruler and King, engage our thoughts and actions. Open us to discern the spiritual nourishment we require.
to take up Christ's ongoing work of reconciliation and restoration. Amen. On this Christ the King Sunday, Ezekiel's shepherd imagery is laid right alongside its New Testament counterpart. That's our gospel reading, which is Matthew's vision of the end times. And it is the only detailed depiction of final judgment that we hear so much about in the New Testament. This text is the last of Jesus' teaching to his disciples in the Gospel of Matthew. It follows, as you probably are well aware, because I figure if you're in church on the Sunday after Thanksgiving, you probably were also in church last Sunday, and the Sunday before that, and the Sunday before that. So this vision of final judgment follows a series of parables that Jesus uses to instruct his closest followers about what makes for proper and right behavior after Jesus leaves them and they await the promise of his final return in glory, the promise of God's reset, of making all things right, of making all things the way God intended them to be in the first place. So here at the end of the church year, we're also at the end of Jesus' extended teaching, and we find ourselves surrounded by Jesus' guarantee of God's judgment. And we're given the criteria upon which God's judgment will rest. Does it surprise you? Lutherans usually don't like to talk a lot about judgment. My guess is you have rarely, if ever, heard a fire and brimstone sermon about judgment and how we're all going to hell from this pulpit. But we can't avoid it in these texts today. We just can't. So it may surprise you, because it surely did surprise both of the groups in this story that Jesus tells. It's a story of separation and a story of hindsight. Surprise is the only thing these two groups, named sheep and goats, the surprise is the only thing they have in common. Their astonishment, those who were compassionate to others, who really didn't even realize they were doing a good thing, those who ignored or pushed aside others for their own well-being, were shocked. Both groups shocked that Jesus identifies himself as present in the least of these. The two groups voice equal surprise and the same question, but with a radically different tone and meaning. Those acting out of mercy were obviously not expecting a reward for something that they felt they needed to do. They weren't keeping score, while those who bullied their way along, steeped in self-concern, they adopt a rather accusatory tone, trying to shift blame to Jesus because he didn't let them recognize that he was there in those people in need. This Sunday, the message of these texts that are so interwoven jump out at me as a warning. and an expectation. We are being invited as God's people, as the church, to careful and ongoing reflection on how we, the community of Jesus Christ, work to bring God's vision and God's command to bear. How is it that we act in kindness, welcome the despised, hear the cries of the oppressed, respond to those in need? What resources do we bring to a world that is saturated with injustice? What resources do we bring to the understanding that God will not let injustice go unanswered? Truthfully, this combination of text messages makes me squirm. In a world of warring complexities and unrelenting power struggles, where violent-filled exchanges have replaced differences of opinion, I am constantly asking myself, what can I do? Or what can I do? In a world that pulls at us to belittle, our call is to compassion and accountability. In an era when bullies use mocking words and slanderous mistruths to gain power and push aside the weak and the powerless, in a time when life pushes us toward cynicism, I feel deeply in need of Jesus' presence in me. In a way, I become one of the needy ones. And I'm pretty sure that need is what brings me to church. I don't know what brought you to church this morning, but it's my need for spiritual nourishment in the face of what's going on in the world around me. I need this infusion of Holy Spirit power. I need to dwell in the place where I feel God at work in Jesus Christ, restoring, renewing faith through word and music and liturgy and fellowship. Here in this place, our living God is present in the Holy Spirit, who inhabits our praise and our worship, our bells and our voices. Here our Savior feeds us life-restoring food as we receive bread and wine. Within this caring, compassionate community, we are reconnected again and again to the one God raised far above the powers of death and destruction. Right here, in the midst of it all, the Good Shepherd holds on to us and restores us for the life of serving and loving to which God calls us out into the world. Presbyterian pastor Lindsay Armstrong, who writes for a resource I love called Feasting on the Word, calls these scriptures a wellness check for the church. Now, most of us are of the age that we know what wellness checks are all about, right? They help the doctor diagnose what we may need or alert to what we're not getting that we should be getting. Well, as a wellness check for the church, how exactly do these texts move us to grow in faith?
to make adjustments. What are the indicators that we are living faithfully with grateful hearts or acting out of compassion, love, and mercy? What does our connection to the one who sits above worldly powers look like? And how are we fortifying and nourishing this spiritual conduit that feeds and refreshes and restores us? Because God wants us to be well, not just as people individually, but as a community. After all, we are created in the image of a freely giving God who generously pours out his love for us each and every day, giving us new life and breath. God draws us near to each other to support our efforts to be and grow into the best community we can be. And God gives each of us a role in the ongoing work of this community in the world. Now, are there any sheep herders in this congregation? I didn't think so. Now, I drive through the country almost every place I have to go because we live in the country, and so I'm oftentimes passing sheep or goats, herds. Well, in our modern world of sheep and goats, shepherds have apps. Did you know that? There are apps. Smart Shepherd is one of them. Herdwatch is another. This technology expands a shepherd's capability to raise healthy, productive herds. Now, as far as I know, the church has yet to develop a Christian community wellness check app. Anybody? Anybody feel like they're drawn to do that? Any smart, talented, young, computer-wise person? Because I'm thinking it'll take imagination. But I pray if such an app existed, it would inspire us to work to root out self-concern, to be faithful. It would alert us to when our spiritual nourishment is getting low and we need to beef it up. It would prod us to look people in the eye and see Jesus looking back at us. That's my hope. Is it too much to ask? Well, whether AI ever enters into our efforts or not, I do pray that the giftedness of this congregation continues to be channeled into faithful response to those in need in the community around you. And I hope that your resources will always promote and sustain avenues for spiritual nourishment through worship, learning, fellowship, and service. Because our King is Jesus, and our loving actions and deeds of kindness are but a response to God who touches our hearts with everlasting love. Amen. Thank you.
together in hope and trust, let us confess our faith together. I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven. With the whole people of God in Christ Jesus, let us pray for the church, those in need, and all of God's creation. Holy God, from Christ we receive our call to feed, clothe, and welcome. Direct your church to respond to this call with faithfulness and generous love. We pray for the work of the ELCA World Hunger and partnerships with global feeding ministries. Hear us, O God, your mercy is great. In Christ, the rock of our salvation, we are brought into union with all of creation, with mountains, seas, dry lands, and animals of the field. We seek your guidance and protection. Hear us, O God. In Christ we know merciful judgment. Guide rulers of every nation in ways of humble leadership and wise decision making. Allow aid to come to all who are underserved and care to any who are neglected. Hear us, O God. In Christ we feel the depth of your love and care towards us. Nourish all who hunger. Connect any who are isolated and surround all who experience rejection or abuse. We pray for those who suffer, especially Bill, Paul and Carolina, Bobby and Jana, Caroline, Greg, Bonnie, Chip, Rebecca, the family of Aldine Conrad, Jim, Jana, and all those we name now aloud on our lips or silently in our hearts. Family of Jaron Gallimore. Hear us, O God. In Christ we are made the people of God's pasture. Inspire the outreach and social ministries of this congregation, especially the Backpack Program and the Blessing Box. We pray for all people who serve and attend to the needs of others. Hear us, O God. Holy God, in Christ we are welcomed home. We praise you for the faithful witness of those who have served you and extended your welcome and love to us. Unite us with them as one body of Christ. Hear us, O God.
Into your hands, gracious God, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy, through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. The peace of Christ be with you always. We share Christ's peace with one another.
Thank you.
Let us pray together. God of all creation, all you have made is good, and your love endures forever. You bring forth bread from the earth and fruit from the vine. Nourish us with these gifts that we might be for the world signs of your gracious presence in Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is indeed our duty and our joy that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. And so, with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy, mighty, and merciful Lord, heaven and earth are full of your glory. In great love, you sent to us Jesus, your Son, who reached out to heal the sick and suffering, who preached good news to the poor, and who, on the cross, opened his arms to all. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, Jesus took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Remembering, therefore, his death, resurrection, and ascension, we await his coming in glory. Pour out upon us the spirit of your love, O Lord, and unite the wills of all who share this heavenly food, the body and blood of Jesus Christ, our Lord, to whom with you and the Holy Spirit be all honor and glory now and forever. Amen. Gathered into one by the Holy Spirit, let us pray as Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. All people are called to Christ's table. Come, taste and see that the Lord is good.
The body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ strengthen and keep you in his grace. Amen.
Let us pray together. O God, we give you thanks that you have set before us this feast, the body and the blood of your Son. By your Spirit, strengthen us to serve all in need and to give ourselves away as bread.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you his peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Let us say our mission statement. As united people of God, under the guidance of the Holy Spirit, our purpose is to provide worship and Christian education and respond in loving action to a needy world. Go in peace, serve the Lord.